Our first guest speaker, who happens to be Millionaire Club member, reached the level of Platinum Executive Director. Give it up for Dr. David Hughes!
Hey, it's fun to be here. We've had a fantastic event so far.
Yeah.
It's been incredible. And some of the trainings, just all the trainings that we had, all the speakers have just been incredible. Just, so inspirational. So I appreciate that. Again, give all our speakers a hand. Awesome. So, for those of you who haven't seen me speak before, I'll share a little bit about my background. I started with Legal Shield. This is my 18th year, and I was in my last year of getting my doctorate in chiropractic school. I was extremely busy, and I saw this as an opportunity to be able to build some extra income while going through school. And so I did. I started about 5 to 10 hours a week, and before I graduated, I was already making over $95,000 a year with this company on a part-time basis, making more than most of my professors, in school with this Legal Shield thing I did on the side. And so it wasn't hard for me to be able to walk away, go full-time into chiropractic, it's full-time into being a full-time dad, a stay-at-home dad with my wife, who is a stay-at-home mom, and we did that for 14 years, and it was a real blessing to be there when our kids were young, and to be able to be involved in their lives, and have the time and financial freedom to do whatever we wanted, that's kind of my journey, but I want to kind of back up and help you understand a few things also, is that, it didn't come easy. This was something I've never done before. This is my first rodeo, so I just followed a simple system, started to have success, and went through challenges, and get through the challenges. And I think a lot of times when people go through their challenges, they're not able to weather those storms. Again, the storms that blow on us all, they're not able to weather those storms, and they end up quitting because they didn't get through it. And those storms are what helps you to become the people that you are today. And I can tell you, I shared this story last weekend at the Super Saturday in Salt Lake. And I'll share it with you guys because, when we get started building this business, sometimes, we're all new at one point, right? We don't know really what we're doing. It's uncomfortable. It's awkward. And same thing with this business. And I felt the same way when I started building my Legal Shield business. I was really concerned about how to make the exposures, what to say. I shared some how bad some of my exposures were. It's like, I thought if I just put in, it's like I went to an ATM once and I slipped in my credit card and, to swipe it. And I thought, I could make an exposure by putting my business card in that same slot and just leave it there so the next person, they can't put their credit card in until they pull out my business card. And I just made an exposure, right? And I'm thinking, man, this is awesome. And then I go pump at the gas station and I'm like, put my card in. I was like, there's another slot. And so I put another business card in there. Dude, how many calls do you think I got off that? None, I didn't get any calls off that. But, I was thinking about how I can make more exposures, and I did. I was making the exposures, even though they weren't the most effective exposures, I was doing something. And the skill set just got better and better and better. So I relate, I'll share an airplane story with you. So I remember the first time I was flying to Cheyenne. It's a controlled airspace, and I'm not used to flying in controlled airspace, so there's not a controlled control tower telling you what to do. So I'm going to Cheyenne. It's the first time I'm flying without my flight instructor. Okay, so think about this and how it relates to Legal Shield. My flight instructor is like my sponsor. Okay, so they're right there by my side, helping me get through this, new thing I'm uncomfortable with. And so it was nice having that sponsor there. So, but then it was the first time they signed off and said, you're good, you can fly into controlled airspace. So I invited my brother Mike, who's in the back of the room, and I said, Mike, how about you fly with me? We can go up there, we'll eat lunch at Cheyenne, and then we'll come back. It'll be a great time. And so we showed up to the airport early. I'm showing them how to use the, you know, the navigational, you know, communications and stuff, how to change the channels. And so he could help me with that so I could just focus on flying and communicating to the control tower. Well, we're about halfway down, heading to Cheyenne, and his door flies open in mid-flight. And so all of my navigational charts fly out the window, and he gets scared, and he hits the stick. It wasn't a yoke. He hits the stick, throws us in the left bank, and all this happened in a split second. I'm like, what the heck just happened, you know? And I'm like, grab the stick and straighten out the plane, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, I'm just thinking, abort, you know, go home, just go home. And my brother Mike's like, he's grabbing the door, and he's like, I got it. So he shuts the door, and it keeps like getting sucked out of the, you know, he goes, I got it. So he's just got this little ledge to hang on to. And there wasn't a handle, and he couldn't get it to shut again in flight. And so he just had to hold it. And so he was like, dude, listen, it's okay. You can make this. Let's go to Cheyenne. And the whole time I'm thinking, no, I need to turn around. I need to go home. Like, and he was like, no, you can do this. You can do it. I can't help you with the dials, but I'll hold the door shut the whole time. And so I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking this is a bad idea. You know, I really, really shouldn't be doing this. So I get to Cheyenne, about 5 miles out, I announce my intention to the control tower, and they say something back, and then I just need to acknowledge this two-way communication that they heard me, I heard them. And so the communications go great. I was like, all right, I did it. And we fly in a little bit closer, and then they report back, and they say, we want you to set up on downwind runway 27. And I was like, okay, report downwind runway 27, got it. And I'm like so proud of myself, because I'm communicating really well on this radio, and I'm scared. Like, you know, I do a lot of public speaking, but for some reason when I get on that radio talking to the control tower, it just freaks me out. And so I'm so proud of myself because I'm doing it. And so then he says, he started calling me by the name of the airplane. It was called a Remus. He says, Remus, we want you to fly this heading. And so I was like, okay, we'll fly in that heading. And so I just start turning the plane, but I'm not paying attention to where I'm flying. I'm just going where, okay, I'll go this direction, you know, any direction. But I was not, I was saying what he wanted me to do, but I wasn't doing what I was saying. Does that make sense? Guys, there's commercial airliners up here in this space. And so I he goes, Remus, clear to land runway 27. I was like, that's what I wanted to hear, because that's the last thing I have to communicate with the tower until I get on the ground. Mm-hmm. It says, Remus, you know, clear to land. I was like, oh, clear to land? All right. And so I'm coming in. I'm looking at the runway. Everything's looking great. And then he gets back on the radio. He goes, Remus, that's runway 31. There's a really strong crosswind. Are you sure you want to land there? I was like, no. He goes, look over to the right. You'll see runway 27. I said, he goes, do you see it? I said, yeah, I see it. He goes, you're clear to land over there. I was like, okay. So I landed. It was great. I seriously thought they're going to take away my license. I thought, I'm done. I will never fly again. But here's the cool thing about why I share that story. Because, see, I was uncertain of myself. I didn't know what I was doing. But I had learned so many mistakes just going out there and just doing it, that I would never make those mistakes again. Because I just did it, and I experienced it. And because I experienced it, I learned from that. And now if I were to go back, I know that I wouldn't do that again. Does that make sense? And sometimes in this business, we're the same way. We just got to get out there and do it. And many times, people are just afraid to fail. They're afraid to screw up. Listen, I was afraid. I was afraid I was going to lose my license, you know, after spending all the time, money, and getting a license. And so then And I think a lot of times, just another, you know, airplane analogy is, you know, we have, if you take these international long distance flights, you know, you can be 14 hours in an airplane flying over different countries and stuff. And, flying over these oceans or large deserts, there's a place where where you, it's called the point of safe return, which means that you have enough fuel on that plane to turn around and go back to your departing airport. It's safe return. But once you go beyond that, there's a point of no return. And most people, I believe, who are not having success in Legal Shield, stay in the point of safe return. They're not willing to go beyond the point of no return, because that point, you can't turn back.
Right.
You must go forward. You must finish and execute the flight, or you're done, right? And so I think if we can just have a little faith to get beyond that, to go to the point of no return, success is inevitable then at that point. And I think, again, so many people are afraid of that failure, afraid of making mistakes, that they just don't have the success they want. And I want to show you a quick video clip that, you know, just to help you understand that, you know, failures are part of life.
The way I operate is totally different.
Back up.
Okay, the way I operate is totally different than this.
Dismissed from drama school with a note that read, "Wasting her time, she's too shy to put her best foot forward." Turned down by the Decca recording company, who said, "We don't like their sound and guitar music is on the way out." A failed soldier, farmer, and real estate agent, at 38 years old, he went to work for his father as a handyman. Cut from the high school basketball team, he went home, locked himself in his room, and cried. Told him he was too stupid to learn anything, and he should go into a field where he might succeed by virtue of his pleasant personality. Fired from a newspaper because he lacked imagination and had no original ideas. His fiancée died, he failed in business twice, he had a nervous breakdown, and he was defeated in 8 elections. If you've never failed, you've never lived.
So failure is part of life. It is. And when you go through this experience, it only makes you a bigger, better, stronger person. And, you know, sometimes when we go through challenges, we may end up with a different destination than we originally set out. And I think this is a great video to illustrate that.
It's totally different, and it's not about the product for me as much as it is about the process. And what I mean about the process saved my life. You see, my mother had me when she was 15 years old, right? Over on the east side of Atlanta, we came up in this neighborhood by the name of Kirkwood, drug dealer on every corner, gang members in the neighborhood, 2-bedroom home, 14 people, used to sleep on the floor. Got the opportunity to sleep in the bed one time out of the week. It was 6 of us in the bed, 3 at the foot, 3 at the head. And I came up with this dream pretty quick. I said, man, I want to go to the NFL, because I had 8 uncles in that house, all 8 of which are still going in and out of prison. And so pretty quick, I said, man, I want to go to the NFL. So I went to my big cousin tomorrow one night. I said, man, listen, I want to go to the NFL. So we got to work for this thing. So the thing we're going to do every night, we're going to be patient. We're going to engage in consistent action. Every night, we're going to race light pole to light pole with no shoes. So every night, we would get out on the street, race light pole to light pole. One night, a coach came down the street. He signed me and my cousins up for organized sports, right? First time being in organized sports. We get in organized sports. The thing was, after practice, everybody would need to go home. And I always had to sit on the bench and wait on my mother because she worked that winter. And so when my mother would show up in the park, it would be about 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night. So I'm sitting there, and when my mother would pull up, she drove the old Buick Regal, hubcaps off the car, seats torn up, the car was all beat up. And she would pull up in the park 10:30 at night. I would jump off the bench. I would sprint over to my mother. I would say, Mom, if you don't mind, can you please sit back in your car and turn on your car lights? I have to do some extra drills. I have to go to the NFL. She would never have to work another day in her life. And I knew my mother was tough. And every night, my mother would sit back in that car, and those car lights would hit that field. And he had a 7-year-old kid doing backpedaling drills, running sprints, running laps, chasing his dream to go to the NFL. But just beyond those car lights, I could always connect with my mother's eyes, so it made me dig a little bit deeper. It made me push myself a little bit further. It made me work a little bit harder. It created a certain level of sweat equity in what I was doing. It created a certain level of pride in what I was doing. You know why people quit? People don't have pride in what they do. You know why people stop? They're selfish, and it's just about them. But when you have a bigger purpose to why you're doing what you're doing, and you want to honor the sacrifices that others have made for you, it's nothing for you to keep going when you hit adversity. If every decision and choice you make is just about you, at a certain point you're going to hit something that's a lot tougher than you, and it's going to make you quit because you don't have a driving force for why you do what you do. But when I got up to the University of Tennessee, it was simple. It was simple for me to give everything I had. My freshman year, I played special teams. My sophomore season, I broke the star lineup, had a really strong sophomore season. The summer heading into my junior year, I still remember the day where I was sitting in our film room, and I was watching film on the California Bears. My defensive backs coach, Larry Slade, came in the room. He said, "Inky, I got some good news for you." I dropped the clicker. I said, "What is it?" He said, "Man, you're projected top 30 draft pick, son." He said, "All you have to do is play the next 10 football games, you're an automatic multimillionaire." I went out of the room, I called my mother and my grandmother on the three-way. I said, "After this season, there will be no more struggle." I said, "We would never miss another meal." I said, "We would never experience another Christmas where we have to stand on the side of the curb and just be grateful." And I hung it up. First football game, I went out, played great, got an interception, shut Cal down. Second game, we're playing against Air Force, got late in the game, fourth quarter, guy dropped back, he threw the ball to a receiver coming down my sideline. Me and the guy, we went head off. As soon as I hit the guy, I felt as if every breath of my body left. Body went completely limp, fell to the ground, I blacked out. Never happened to me. When my eyes opened, I'll never forget, my teammates ran over, they said, "Hey, get up, let's go." I said, I can't move. I said, "What do you mean you can't move? You're out of lockdown corner, man. We need you. Let's go." I said, "I know, man, but this time I can't move." I flipped my head up to the sky and said, "God." I said, "Surely nothing is happening in this moment that can alter my life." They got me over to the hospital. They took me back. They ran CAT scans. They brought me back into my room. And all in a 15-second time frame, the doctor came running in from the opposite side. He said, "Hey, get in there. We got to rush this guy back to emergency surgery. He's about to die." I said, "What?" He said, "Son, you have busted up the clavian artery in your chest. You're bleeding internally. We have to rush you back, take the main vein out of your left leg, plug it into your chest in order to save your life." When I opened my eyes from recovery, the same doctor was over me. He said, "Son, has some good news and some bad news for you." I said, "You got some bad news for me? I have to tell him I was about to die. I'm still alive. How bad can it get?" He said, "The good news is we saved your life." I said, "Thank you, sir." He said, "The bad news is, Ink, you have nerve damage in your right shoulder." I said, "Okay, cool." He said, "But son, it's a strong possibility that you probably can never play the game of football again in your life." I said, "No way." I said, "No disrespect to you, Doc, but I've been working for this ever since I was 7 years old." I said, "No disrespect to you, Doc, but you wasn't in the park with me and my mother when I was 7 years old and she was sending that beer Greek out that she got done working at Wendy's. No disrespect to you, Doc, but you didn't come up in that two-bedroom home, 14 people sleeping on the floor. No disrespect to you, Doc, but you didn't miss those meals and stay focused and never made an excuse. I never cheated. Like, my conscience still until this day won't let me cheat. Like, I can't cheat. I can't look myself in the mirror and say, if you did a good job knowing that I cheated. I can't cheat. One of the greatest pieces of advice that my mother gave me was this: son, whenever you start, you make sure you finish. And the problem with the world today, people get involved with things, and if they don't like a certain person, if they don't like the process, if it's not what they thought it was, they quit. And what they don't understand about quitting becomes a habit that doesn't just affect you. Later on in life, when you get a wife and you get some kids or you get a family, it's going to come back to hunt you, and it will one day affect them. That is why I tell you the process is more important than the product. It's not even about the outcome for me. It's about, can you take pride in what you do as an individual, and every night when you look in the mirror, knowing that you gave everything you had to it. And we have to get to the point where we're willing to impose our will on certain things. Impose your will on it. My life totally changed. And they gave me an opportunity to stop. And most people, when you give them an opportunity to stop while they're chasing something, they take advantage of it because they feel as if, man, why did this have to happen to me? I felt as if, why not me? This is the perfect opportunity to use this to be a blessing to somebody else. And you know what? It's not even about me, to be truthful. It's not even about me. Now it's about repaying the people that invested in me and saw something in me when I couldn't see it in myself. At a certain point in life, it can't just be about you. And the moment that we understand that, and every day we wake up, we understand that life is a blessing and life is a gift. And if you were to check out today, how would you want to be remembered? It's bigger than you.
Good stuff. Filled with nuggets, wasn't it?
Yes.
I mean, so many great things in there. It's not about the products, it's about the process. You know, some people think, oh, it's just about executive director. Oh, it's about ring earners. No, it's about the process of becoming that. That's way more important than the product. So what I want to share with you now is I want to go through some skills and some skills that will help you be able to move forward in your business. And I think they're some of the most important skills. So we're going to talk about 9 keys of success to help you have success. So the first, we're at 2 agendas that I'm going to cover here. The first one is the 9 keys. It's the cycle, compensation, the keeping it elemental, staying on track, business, the power of 3, never running out, support system, and the short-term goals. Okay, so we're going to go into each one of these so you don't have to worry about writing that. So let's go into the first one right now. So when we get started in the business, it's important that we do a game plan interview, right? So that game plan interview is your start. It's your new associate's start. And then we go on to teach them this cycle, moving on to how to contact Invite. Unless they know how to contact Invite, they're not going to be doing anything. Mr. Burns, I think, did a fantastic job teaching that today or yesterday. And then how to present it. You know, what are you going to say? How are you going to say it? And then how to close it, how to sign somebody up. So this is the cycle that we want to learn and master every part of this cycle. Okay, if you leave out any part of this, then you're just going to continue to have challenges in your business. Now, second thing that's important to understand is understanding the compensation plan. So if you understand the compensation plan on how to advance through that. See, when I was brand new, my brothers and I, we sat down and we studied the detailed compensation plan. We didn't study the compensation as it's talked about in the business briefing. We studied the detailed sheets that you can download off the associate portals. And it tells you every little thing that you need to know to advance in the compensation plan. I knew how to advance to a platinum executive director before I ever sold a membership. And it gave me the vision and the understanding of what it's going to take to actually move on to the next level. Again, just reference Mr. Burns' training yesterday. He talked about setting those targets. And every time you set that target, that's what you're shooting for. Because you know exactly what that next step is. And we knew what that next step was all the way up to platinum executive director. So I think it's important that you study the compensation plan. And just more kudos to the Burns and all of the leaders in the state of Utah. You know, when I was out there doing the Super Saturday last weekend, all the chit-chat, you know, it was like, let me give you an example. You know, I'll go do a Super Saturday somewhere, and we'll go out to the dinner after the dinner, and they're like, yeah, you know, I had this, met with this broker, and hey, we did this, you know, the B2B, and hey, we were walking the neighborhood, and that's the chat that you hear after the business briefing. And when the chat that I heard after the Super Saturday was, hey, we recruited this person. Hey, we did this sit down. Hey, we got in front of these people and we signed up all these people and we did this PBR and blew it up. It was all about recruiting. And it might have something to do with Utah being the number one per capita in recruiting, right? You know, and they talk about the compensation plan and setting those targets. And they're like, yeah, we set this target. We said, hey, this is what we're going to focus on right now. This is what we're going to level up to. We're going to get this bonus, right? We got the double bonuses when they had the double bonus. That's all they were talking about is how can they get these double up bonuses for their new people, right? Not because they wanted the double up. That's going to come. Because they wanted to be able to get the double ups for the new people. And they were, I can't tell you, that's all the language I heard when I was in Utah. So kudos to you guys, that's awesome. So understand the compensation, how to advance. Number 3, it's keeping it elemental. You know, I think that a lot of times, we've heard a lot about this. You know, we all have the same product, don't we, that we're selling? We all have the same product. Mm-hmm. And we've heard about people blaming, you know, oh, it's those attorneys. If they would just do a better job, maybe I could be successful here. But yet we have so many other people that have been successful with the same product, right? And then we also have the same opportunity. We all get paid the same money, don't we? When you do the work, we get paid the same money. So what's the variable That's it. What's the variable in this equation?
Me.
People.
It's me, right? It's you. It's each one of us. You know, my brother Jeff, for those of you who know him, he can be quite blunt and just say it the way it is. And I remember one time when we were new in the business, my brothers and I were sitting around his house late at night, just laughing, telling stories, having a great time. And he says, after a belly laugh, we're like, that's so funny, you know? And then my brother Jeff goes, yeah, hey, where are you guys sleeping tonight? We're like, well, at my house. He was like, go there. Meaning the party's over, get out. I was like, wow, holy moly. You know? Anyways, he was doing this training one time, and this lady, she says, I can't sell this thing to nobody. And he goes, you want to know why? And she goes, yeah, I want to know why. And he goes, because you suck. She was huffing and puffing. She was so mad. He was like, oh, hold on, hold on. He goes, listen, I suck too, right? When I got started, we all suck. And you just need to stop sucking so you get better, right? And she's like, oh, God, she was about to blow a fuse, you know? But that's the truth, guys. It's if you're not having the success you want, it's you. You got to look in the mirror and say, what can I do to not suck anymore, right? What can I do to be a little better every single day? All right, and now this, when you get better, you're going to learn how to get duplication. And what happens is, first of all, you know, when you're learning, it's just you. You know, that's like your game plan interview with your sponsor when you're a new associate, okay? They're gonna teach you what you need to learn. So that's you. But then you get to a point where you're teaching, and then your team gets a little bit bigger, and then this is where you teach to teach. And when you start to teach to teach, that's when you get bigger and bigger organizations, because now not only are you teaching, but you've got teachers. Does that make sense? And now you've got that duplication that helps you move on and get bigger and bigger throughout your organization. Number four is to stay on track. I can't tell you how many times I got off track in this business. I mean, just, you know, we'd go to the trainings, they'd say, look, here's the system, and we get off track doing some of the stupidest stuff because, you know, we thought there was an easier or faster way. So, you know, as far as staying on track, you got to be teachable, and there's four ways to learn in this business. One is you got learned knowledge, and that's when you just learn to read a book, right? You're reading, you're getting started, write books, you're spending time in the back office, and you're just learning. But how many of you would learn how to ride a bike if you just read every book in the world on riding a bike?
Nope.
Would you do it?
No.
No. Why? You got to do it, right? You got to have activity knowledge. So that's the next form of learning. So once you've learned about the book knowledge, now you got to put it in a practical application. And then you've got modeling knowledge. And this is where you model the other successful people. What are they doing? How are they having success? Picking their brains and learning from those people. And then the last one is teaching knowledge. Because once you actually get to a point where you understand it so well that you're now teaching it, that's a whole nother level of skill when it comes to learning. And I'll tell you, when you get in front of a room like this, or even if it's your weekly business briefing, and you say something that's wrong, someone will correct you. Right? And then you're like, oh, okay. And guess what? Now you learn. But you're when you know it so well to be able to teach it, it just, you know, that's when you own it. All right, number five is understand this business. This is a business. Treat it like a business. Most people treat it like a hobby. Hobbies don't pay. Most of them only cost. Ask my wife about flying. She was hoping I could pick up scrapbooking or something like that. It'd be a little cheaper. But so then, you know, if we treat it like a business and really put the time and effort into it, then you're going to be able to get the results like a business. Understanding, we've heard this today, you know, you're going to put more time in it at first and then less time, and then you'll make more money. And I can tell you, like, I put a lot more time in at the beginning of the time than I do now in my business. And I also have more money coming in. This is an important concept, might be hard to see from back there, but if you look here, you know, when we first get started, we're super excited. I can't tell you how many sleepless nights I had when I first started building my business. And that's what this says right here, no sleep phase. And if you haven't experienced no sleep, I wish you many sleepless nights because of your journey in building Legal Shield. And then what happens is you're on top of the world. You're like, I'm so excited about my newfound business. And then you go talk to somebody who tells you that you're a loser, you can't do it, like some of those people that we saw in that first video clip. Can you imagine if those people listened to those dream stealers trying to take their dreams, saying you'll never become anything? I mean, imagine. You lack creativity, and it was Walt Disney? Seriously, how do you say those things? But I'm telling you, those people out there, they're going to say it to you. You know, Mr. Justin Timbershake, he said the same thing. You know, people say it about him, right? They're out there, but you can't listen to them. Right. When you do, you'll go to a point of despair. You're thinking, oh, you know what? I should just quit. Maybe they're right. Maybe it's not going to work for me. But then you get out of that and you go on and you get to the next level. And notice that this peak is higher than this peak, right? So now you're at a higher level of belief and understanding of what this business can do for you. And then you'll always have peaks and valleys. You'll go through tough times and you think, hey, listen, I can fight or I can quit. But it's your choice. And so you have these challenges going. Maybe you got a top leader that just quit in the business. I'll tell you, there was a time when Chris and I, you know, we're living down in Southern California together. And man, we went through some hard times. It was one of our first major, major disappointments in our business. And we were living in Southern California. And what had happened was there was a guy who was in a leadership position in another state in Utah. We're down in Southern California. And this guy was a trainer. He was one of the corporate trainers, and he would have people coming through his class, and he would find the sharpest people in his class, and he would recruit them into another network marketing company. And that guy stole one of my top leaders out of my business and one of the top leaders out of Chris's business. And we missed executive director. Now, I'll tell you, back then, the compensation plan was way more difficult than it is now. Because just so you guys have a little perspective on how much easier it is now, back then, you had to have three different directors to be an executive director. Three different directors. Each one of those director teams had to produce 25 memberships each, at least 25 memberships each. You couldn't make up any personal. You had to have 75 total memberships, couldn't make up any personal volume. It all had to be done in those three director legs. You couldn't count any open line volume. You could have hundreds of memberships in your open line, but you could only count those 25 coming from those three director legs. And when that guy took a director out of my team and a director out of his team, we just lost one third of our business overnight. And we were no longer executive directors. That was not a good place. We had the notice on the apartment said, 3 days or quit, get out. Trying to evict us out of this apartment. My brother Chris was driving our car. He parked it in the car park. My wife went out to go get some groceries, and she said, hey, Chris, where'd you park the car? He goes, I parked it right. It was right there. Repo man came and got it. That's where we were. And I remember Chris and I sitting on the curb, crying our eyes out, wondering what the hell are we going to do? Chris and I having that conversation, should we cancel the San Bernardino business briefing? Because we can't afford the hotel bill. We can't afford one penny of loss. We have no money. What are we going to do? And Chris and I made a pact together. We're like, you know what? The only thing we can do is get up and go to work. So we went up to go to work. We got, both got back to executive director in like a month. And the very next month, we were making like $15,000 a month each. I mean, it changed. Guys, we're all going to have these peaks and valleys in our business. And sometimes, listen, when you get to those, you know, to the higher levels, you may have some of the most difficult challenges like we faced. Wonder, how am I going to get through this one? Thinking, this is, you know, it's not impossible. But you get beyond it. You get back up, you go to work, and you make it happen. Here's the difference between where we were versus a brand new associate. We had already had the money. We already tasted the good life. We knew it was real. A new associate, they don't know. Who was it? Was it Joshua? Were you the one talking about you just had this? Somebody was talking about they just had to see that first check. It was you. You know, because he didn't even know if it was real. It's like, matter of fact, you know, you'll see associates. They'll see, okay, I got leveled up. I see the money in my back office, and it says it's coming to my checking account, but they still don't believe it until it hits their checking account, right? See, once you've experienced the success, we knew it. We were way beyond that, but we still had our challenges. That make sense? The fourth thing here I want to talk about is the four basic skills that you got to master in this business. The first one is communication. The ability to be able to communicate effectively, to be able to inspire somebody with your story. I think one of the greatest trainings I went to many years ago was a training where all they talked about was creating your story. And I bet you there's most people in this room couldn't tell their story in a way that would inspire somebody. Can you tell your story that would inspire someone? Even if you're brand new, you don't have to be a top executive. You don't have to be a top income earner. But can you tell your story to inspire somebody to want to be like you? To want to have more, do more, become more? Can you tell that story? Communication. Mastering that skill will help you to do that. Number two is recruit. You got to learn how to recruit. And there was great trainings on that. We don't need to get into that, but that was, Manny, that was a great training. Fantastic. Yeah. Listen, some of you guys, and I know you might have been a little hesitant going into those kind of details with that training, but guys, some of you see that training, you're like, oh my gosh, I could never be like Manny. Manny, were you like that when you were new?
No.
He wasn't like that when he was new. There's some people in this room, it would freak you out to say hi to a stranger. You'd be like, oh, I couldn't do what Manny does. I can't even say hi to a stranger, right? It would freak you out just to say hi to a stranger. But you get better. Better and better. You learn how to recruit. And that recruiting helps you to build that business bigger and bigger. Build for events. We've heard about this. Promoting for events. The promoters make the most money. We've heard about that. I didn't skip that. I guess that's the nice thing about going long and your PowerPoint is too many slides, is you don't have to spend so much time on each one. So personal development is the last thing. It's sharpening your axe, getting better and better and better. You know, there's a philosophy that people can have where someone may say, you can't teach an old dog what? Is that true or is that a lie? It's true if you believe it. It's true if you believe it. But I'll tell you, it's a lie. So those philosophies will hold you back. The personal development will move you forward. You gotta be engaged on a daily basis in personal development. Number six is the power of three. And this is what, you know, again, we've heard about this, so I'm not gonna spend too much time on this. But the power of three is where, you know, you've got you, You've got your prospect, and you've got your third party. Your third party is, you know, your tools, or maybe it's your expert. So here, you've got trust with your prospect. They know you, they trust you, but they may not respect you. And I'm so grateful for my brother Jeff, because he didn't act like he was some legal expert when he showed me Legal Shield. He didn't act like he was some expert in making all this money because he was a shoe salesman for 18 years working at the mall. Seriously? What do you know about making money? So, you know, what is third party? Anything other than your mouth. If your mouth is moving, it should be reading, pointing, introducing, or telling a story. That's it. If you're doing more than that, you're doing too much. Never run out of names. Here's how you do it. First of all, you start with you. You've got 100 people, say, roughly on your names. You get a prospect, they got people. Another prospect, they got people. And again, you just keep adding more and more people. Every person that you run into have a list of people. And now you've got thousands of people that you can talk to, and never run out of names. Some people, they'll go through their first list. Listen, here's my mistake when I first started. My mistake was I didn't have 100 people on my original list. And it kind of freaked me out. I had this scarcity mentality. I thought, I have to savor my list. And I got to make sure I can do it the right way. Because I don't want to screw up, because I only have less than 100 people. And so it's very careful about every little thing. Guys, when you create that list, the best way is to explode through that list so fast. Because we've heard several speakers talk about that you got to be busy. Right? You can't act like you've got all the time in the world. You got to move on to the next person. You look at Bill Mahonga going executive director in 2 weeks. Do you think he sat around and waited for people to make a decision? No. He was moving forward to the next person. He was going to. He had a list of people that he's working with. And have you ever been involved in network marketing, by the way? Never been involved in network marketing. See, some people think, make an executive director in 2 weeks, he must have brought a downline over. He was calling genealogy reports. That's all he was doing. Calling genealogy reports of everybody in his previous downline. That's not what Mr. Monga did. He just created a list of people that he knew, and he started just blasting through that list as fast as possible. You know, Mr. Hall's training was so spot on, and it helps, hopefully, all of us see how, you know, Mr. Hall was doing a training at a Super Saturday, and the market leader came up to him and he said, "Dude, thank you for showing that training." It was the same one he showed us. He says, "Thank you for showing that training." He says, "It's so exciting to see this story." Hey guys, this is, some of you, if you haven't got a chance to meet Bill, this is like the myth, the legend, and he's in this room with us today, right? You hear about him on the conference calls, you think, oh, executive director in 2 weeks. He's right here, and you can touch him. He's real, right? And he did it the right way. He didn't bring some, you know, not that that's wrong, but he didn't bring this downline. He just made a list of people and just exposed people. And what did the market leader say to you? He just did it. He did more activity in his first 2 weeks, the market leader said, than all of the executive directors in that marketplace combined in a year. And that's why he had that kind of success that fast, right? He's just doing more of it. Now, some people may feel like that they may run out of people to talk to. How do you get more leads? Well, you network with other people. The people that you know up here, you network through those people and you ask for referrals, okay? Advertise, getting your name out there, you know, putting business cards in ATM slots, it works great. So, no, just kidding. But anyways, you know, you're advertising. You're trying to get out there and let people know that you are the Legal Shield go-to person. And then prospecting. We've had, some, you know, again, Many Paws did a great job on prospecting, because the thing is, if you can get great at prospecting, there is an unlimited amount of people to talk to. Mm-hmm. Unlimited. Because everywhere you go, there's people that you can talk to. So, number 8, is support, your support system. You've got your meetings. We've heard a lot about that, getting plugged in. If you're not plugged in, you're not making any money. Neither is your team. Okay? Getting set up, you got your Legal Shield Advantage, your emails, you know, and getting the apps downloaded and knowing how to use the apps. You know, this is your support to help you have success in your business. If you're not plugged into support, it is so hard. You know, if you ever seen the movie The Gladiator,
mm-hmm.
I love the scene where, you know, Russell Crowe, he calls all the people in together so that, you know, he was like, come together, so that they could fight together as a team. And some of the big bad guys, they get out there and they're like, I don't need the group. They're like, bring it on, right? And they're like, boom, arrow through the chest, right? And that's what happens a lot of times when you're as an associate and you go off on your own and you think, I don't need anyone. I don't need the briefing. I can handle this all on my own.
Yeah.
And then, boom, right through the chest. And you're gone, right?
Yeah.
So, guys, the events are so important to plug into. Number 9 is short-term goals. And we've heard a lot about the goals by Mr. Burns. So, again, thank you. I'm going to skip through that. We're going to move on to the last agenda I want to talk to you, and that's contact inviting. So some general rules, you know, that you understand. 5 steps to inviting, presentation, and closing. I'm going to talk about this real quick here. So the power of 3, we talked about that. Being yourself, you know, whatever that is, you got to be yourself. Sometimes people just become really weird once they become a Legal Shield associate, you know. They got their Legal Shield shirt. They got their Legal Shield hat. They got a button that says, I got an attorney in my pocket, ask me how. It's just weird, right? I mean, it's good to advertise, but some people just take it too far. Okay? Enthusiasm, I can tell you, the last acronyms here is I am sold myself. Enthusiasm. You know, it's good to have enthusiasm. Sometimes you got to bridle it. Because I'll tell you, I scared off my first prospect. It was one of my best friends who went to chiropractic school. He went to undergraduate school. We were roommates. We were now married, living in the same apartment, going through chiropractic school. Get home from my first business briefing. I'm like, oh my gosh, man. I couldn't get out of the car fast enough to go talk to him about what I had just learned at the business briefing. And he was like, we're like, oh, dude, it's awesome, man. We can make so much money. We like pay for our chiropractic school. It's awesome. And he's like, I don't know what you're smoking. I don't want it. And still today, he could care less to know anything about Legal Shield. Like, we freaked him out. I get it. I mean, we screwed it up. Okay. So sometimes you need to bridle your enthusiasm and creating a sense of urgency. We've heard a lot about that as well. Okay, so 5 steps to contact inviting. Identify your prospect. Who's that person? Making the call, selecting the approach, exposing now, presentation. We're going to jump into each one of these. Don't worry about recording this. Okay, the first one is identifying your prospect, making your list, prioritizing your list. Find out who they are and how are you going to identify which ones you want to go after first. See, a lot of times, new associates will make the mistake of saying, well, I want to go after my deadbeat friends first because I want to screw it up on them. But it's the deadbeat friends that's going to come back and say, sound like you're on a pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you go after your sharpest people first, they get it faster.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you go after business owners. You guys realize that most people who say, it sounds like one of those pyramid things. You guys, most of those people are employed. They're employed. That's why they have that concern, because they've never seen it from this perspective. They've only seen it from this perspective. And so they look at, oh, that sounds like one of those pyramids. No, it's called business, right? And they've never seen it from that side. So you want to go after the sharpest people, because they're going to help you to explode your business so much faster. You know, one time it was said, somebody came up to me after the events, and they said, you're the kind of person I want on my team. I want sharp professionals. I want doctors, lawyers, accountants. I want financial people. I want those kind of people on my team. Is that who you look for? I said, I only look for one thing. I look for PhDs. He was like, what? Why only PhDs? I go, because they're poor, hungry, and driven, right? Those are the people I'm looking for, because those are the people who want to do something with their life. All right, and do they have a good self-image? Let's move on. So making the call. So Express, you don't have much time. I don't want to spend much time here because, again, we've talked about all this stuff. Urgency, we got to follow up on that action. It's your business and time. Both are extremely valuable. And it's a lot of times when you are in business for yourself, you think, oh, I've got all the time in the world. And guys, it's one of the biggest mistakes you make. Time is so precious, and you only have so much time. So you got to make sure every moment matters. So selecting your approach. Talk about these couple concepts real quick. You got the indirect approach, you got the indirect approach. The indirect approach is, hey, can I ask for help? Can I get your opinion? Let me give you an example. There was a guy on my team who was working at FedEx Kinko's down in Southern California market. And this guy walks in looking like $1 million. He has his Mercedes-Benz out in the parking lot. And the guy on my team was the FedEx employee working there. And he says, hey, are you open to making extra income? Because I can show you how to make some extra income. How well do you think that worked? Here's a successful business owner walking into this place, and here's a guy making minimum wage telling this guy how you can make extra money. It's probably not going to work very well. Y'all agree? Okay. So the indirect is, hey, you know, you look really sharp. You must be a business owner. What do you do? Compliment them. Find out what they do. You know what? Obviously, you've been really successful at what you do. You know what? Would you mind helping me? See, most successful people want to help. They'd be willing to help and share their success with you. Can I get your opinion? I just got started on something. I would love to be able to get your opinion on something and see what you think about it. And so it's an indirect approach because once you give them the information, now they'll look at it and they're like, hey, that looks really good. Hey, I want to do this. I want to know more about it, right? So now you've indirectly, and then you can move forward to a direct approach. The direct approach is where you know, these are people who trust you. Let me ask you, Bill, I'm going to put you on the spot. I don't know the answer to this question. How many of the people that you prospected to get to executive director were in this category or this category? What percentage would you say were in the, of the people you prospect were in the direct approach? Or something like this?
Probably
90%. Okay. That might also have something to do with his success because that means a lot of people look up to him or equal to him. Where some people, they may be down here on the lower social economical ladder of success in life and they look up to a lot of people so they can use the indirect approach to those people. Does that make sense? Okay. So expose now. A lot of times people, they just make these exposures and, you know, they just... They think that, well, it's like, who said it, sending out the text blast. Sending out text blasts of 300 people. It just doesn't work. You know, you'll get people in, they're like, oh, I've got a huge email database. I'm just going to spam everyone. You know? Guys, it doesn't work, man. People are so busy now, they just delete that stuff. So how do you get the exposure? You do it right then and there when they're ready to receive the information. Get them the information right then and there. Don't wait, you know, later down the road. Like, you know, Manny talked about, you know, if you're going to make the exposure, he says, I'm so busy, I'll get back with you next Thursday. I love that. Never heard that before. That's fantastic. But does he wait? No. He gets it as soon as he can. He goes, hey, I had some time open up on my schedule, right? Get them to the website, walk them through the process, sign them up. We talked about the power of three, presenting. You know, there's two things how to get the presentation. We either take the people to the meeting or
take
the meeting to the people. So what does this mean? This means is you're taking people to the business briefing, the luncheons. What does this mean? This means, well, they didn't come to that, so you're gonna take the meeting to the people. You're going to go sit down with them. Go meet them at a coffee shop or something like that. And in closing, you need to have confidence in yourself and your opportunity. Guys, we're not selling some juice with koala bear sweat on it. We have a product that's professional, that has integrity, that we know we can go out there and represent with our chin high, right? So have confidence. This is not something that's just a startup opportunity that may or may not be successful. We know it's successful. You're the question. You're the question, not the opportunity. It's already successful. You're the variable there, right? So, and when signing somebody up, you've got the question. Here's the money question. What'd you like best? Do you see an opportunity for yourself? Or prepare to get started? Anyone can do that. Would you agree? Simple questions to be able to invite somebody. If they've got questions, if they're not ready, guess what? If you're in the right environment with other successful people, then you can get them to help answer those questions for you. Okay? I want to end with a couple of videos.
Then that's knocked out, and I love it. Buster Douglas got knocked out. Nobody ever got knocked out by Mike Tyson and ever got back up. It was almost a 10 count. He was stumbling. They were 4, 3, 2, 1. Ding, ding, ding. Saved by the bell. He goes to his corner. The whole world is like, oh, that's it. Once he comes back out, that's it. Mike's going to just hammer him. And exactly that. Mike Tyson came out like, I got him. I got this kid up against the rope. Listen to me. Many of you right now, life's got you up against the rope. You can't give up. You can't give in. Listen to me. If it was easy, everybody would do it. And if life's got you backed up, I need you to do what Buster Douglas did. Buster Douglas started fighting back. The world was shocked. Goliath has been knocked down. What happened? And they went to Buster Douglas and they asked Buster Douglas simply, like, what happened? And Buster Douglas said, listen to me, it's real simple. Before my mother died, she told the whole world that I was going to beat Mike Tyson. And 2 days before the fight, my mother died. Buster Douglas had a decision to make. When his mother died, he could die with his mother, or he made a decision, I can wake up and I can live for mom. And he knocked Mike Tyson out simply because his why was greater than that punch. His why was greater than defeat. His why was greater than his trial and his tribulation. And I'm telling you, if you don't know what your why is and your why isn't strong, you're going to get knocked out every single day.
Hey, woo!
Yeah.
Always begin with our why. I'm going to end with our why. The why is what gets you to continue to move on, guys. It gets you through your challenging times. And I can tell you, you know, there was a time when I was building my business, and I had, you know, I accomplished so many great things at Legal Shield. You know, I got the six-figure ring, the platinum jacket, millionaire club status. You know, it's been an amazing journey. And the things I've learned in this business, I'm so grateful for, because it's helped me become who I am. And there was a, you know, just a few years ago, my brother Mike, he came to me and he said, hey, Dave, he was like, we want to be chiropractors since we're 14 years old. We've never practiced together. What do you think about going to practice? That same day, just prior to that, I was having a conversation with my wife. I said, I feel like there's so much more I can do with my time. And so I decided that day, okay, let's do it. We want to do that since we were 14 years old. I had no intentions to getting into chiropractic to build some little chiropractic office. And in 3 years, my brother Mike and I have built the largest chiropractic office, and one of the largest in the state of Colorado. And it's been incredible. You know, and then a lot of times people talk about the challenges of running business. Listen, I don't have a clue how to do taxes, because I got somebody who does it for me. I don't have a clue how to do payroll. Never done it. I've never done one payroll. We got several employees, 5 chiropractors. I've never cut a check. I know how to write a check, but I don't know how to do payroll because I got people doing it for us. We built a large business, and it's the skills that I learned in this business that helped me to be able to build one of the most successful practices in Colorado. And so I went from a time feeling I could be so much more fulfilled to I'm the regional manager in Northern Colorado in Legal Shield. Still run all the events, the Legal Shield universities, every single week. I'm also, you know, practicing about 20 hours a week in practice. I serve on the board of the Colorado Chiropractic Colorado Association. My calling in my church takes so much time, for most people, it would be a full-time clergy position. But I do that in addition, around all the other things. I am busier than I've ever been in my entire life. But I am more fulfilled and more accomplished than I've ever been in my entire life, because I know that I'm blessing so many people, not just here in Legal Shield, but in chiropractic, but also in church and spiritually, being able to change people's lives in so many different ways. And it's just given me a passion and a drive and a new look at life. And I love it to be able to help change people's lives. And I want to share, you know, just some of the miracles that I get to enjoy in chiropractic, and Bill knows who I'm talking about. This lady called me up, and she said, she goes, I've already tried chiropractors. I had an accident, a car accident 3.5 years ago. She goes, it didn't really help me. I have chronic migraines. I've suffered 2 heart attacks in the last week. She goes, it would be easier if I just died. She said that 3 times on that conversation. I said, I can help you. I haven't even seen you. I think I know what's wrong with you. I said, you need to come in and see me. So she comes in, and I asked her, I said, would you mind if I video record your health journey? She goes, yeah, why do you want to do that? Because I want to get it on video, the miracle that's about to take place in your life right now.
Wow.
Is that confidence?
Yes.
Yeah.
I hadn't touched her yet. And so I worked with her, adjusted her, she gets off the table, and she just starts bawling because her pain is gone. And she realizes that there's more to life. She hasn't had any product. She told me before I left here, she goes, it's been 64 days since I've been on the floor throwing up. 64 days. She counts every day as a new day in life. Man, miracles are happening. But I'll tell you what, it all started right here in Legal Shield. Miracles are happening in our lives, that it's changed our families' lives for the better. To take all of my brothers to be able to flip our lives upside down and show us that there's a better way. To see, you know, I look at my brother Chris in awe to see how he's changed his life, living in that 2-bedroom apartment with Chris and I and my wife and my daughter at the time. She was living in the closet. Because we didn't have room. You know, she's come out of the closet since then, but to see where Chris has come from, because he was broken, disgusted, and he, I don't know if he's gonna talk about that, but to see where he'd come from. It was this business that changed his life, to help him become the leader, the inspiration to so many in this room, and to so many outside this room. It was this business that allowed us to do that. Guys, it's the skills that we learn, it's the things that we've talked about, it's the things that we've been trained on, that if we apply those things and we take action, and when should we take action?
Yeah.
Monday?
Yeah.
Did Bill wait till Monday, till after convention to get started?
Nope.
No, he was in his hotel room right there, doing the work right then and there because he was already committed to change his life. And guys, it's now. Now is the time that we got to decide to go out there. When we make the breaks, when we go out, we're hanging around the pool, think about who can you call? Go to your hotel room. Make some phone calls. Send some text messages. Say, oh my gosh, we got to talk. Get that interest started now, right? Apply the skills that you've learned through the last couple days and let it go to work on you, and let it help you to be able to achieve the success you want so that you can accomplish all the dreams that you want to accomplish. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.